Now, you might recall we had a chat yesterday with sports journalist and commentator Joseph Romanis, who is rehoming, or at least looking to rehome, his collection of cricket books, about 600 of them that he's amassed over the years. I couldn't quite understand why he was doing it, but he felt the time was right to pass them on. The good news today is that we've found a home for them. I'm joined by Mayor of Whanganui, Hamish McDowell. Hello there, Hamish.
Hey, g'day, Jesse.
Nice to talk to you today. Were you listening yesterday?
Yeah, look, I was. It was. I listened to the 1 o'clock update, and then suddenly you mentioned Joseph Romanis, who I've known for quite a long time, and my ears pricked up, and I listened and followed your contact details.
Yeah, and so tell me about your interest in cricket books.
Well, I've got a library at home, so I think my wife got a bit sick of big bunches of big boxes of books, you know, being transported from here to there. And so for my 50th birthday, she built me a library at the back of our house and put all the cricket books in there. So I've got about 1,000 volumes, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of gravitational. I inherited my friend Ken's book collection, and then I inherited another book collection, and now everybody who has cricket books to spare seems to throw them at me.
Can you tell me more about your wife? She sounds pretty special.
Yeah, she's an architect, so she's great. She doesn't really like cricket. She's only seen one match with me, and that was when Brian Lara played his last test at the Basin. But she's pretty talented.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. And you have no objection to people giving you their books? It's part of the fun?
No, I mean, yeah, no, not at all. I mean, it's getting pretty full, but there's still some space on the shelves. And I love cricket. I love the ability to research. And you know, once I've finished the political arc of my life, I'll be hopefully turning around and becoming a writer again. That was what I did before I was elected. So I'd like to go back there.
Yeah. And do you often go in and browse through them or look something up?
Yeah. Probably not as much as I should, but particularly over summer, you know, I'm always there, which is great. And, you know, I've got some wonderful treasures in there. And actually, to kind of extend the potential story a little bit, I have about 6 or 7 boxes of double up books or whatever, and I'm pretty sure some of Joseph's will be double ups.
Yeah,
and so I'm quite happy to give those boxes away as well. To it'd be a really good starter cricket library, because I think the more we treasure these, what I regard as treasures, the more cricket fanatics we can create, the better.
Okay, so people who were listening yesterday, and you and Joseph have come to an arrangement, which is great. So people who were listening yesterday who missed out on Joseph's collection may find that in a couple of weeks, once you've gone through all of his and found the double ups, that there's another collection up for grabs.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not pretty close to 18 boxes, ironically.
Wow. I'm up for it.
Excellent.
I'm totally up for it. So we'll invite people again if they have a good home for this number of cricket books. Send me an email, jesse@rnz.co.nz, and we'll see if we can make you the next recipient. Is there anything amongst Joseph's collection that you're really looking forward to?
Well, he mentioned yesterday, I think, that a lot of the stuff is from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, which is before I became interested in cricket. I was born in the late 60s. So, I find those always so well written, and just gives insights that you'll never get from first-hand experience anymore. And so, you know, names like Len Hutton and Sydney Barnes and, of course, Bradman and Miller and Bert Oldfield. I mean, they just make my blood run just that bit quicker.
Is it a sport well suited to writing?
Oh, I think so. I think it's the most literary sport. I think if you look at the history of sports writing, obviously baseball for American writers just seems to be catnip. But for the rest of the world, it's cricket or boxing. Boxing is the other one that people like Norman Mailer, of course, have written about and been some great boxing books. I don't know why. Maybe it's the gladiatorial thing that at any one stage in a cricket match, the fielders disappear and it's a bowler bowling at a batsman. But it's also so poetic, such a beautiful sport.
George Plimpton, the other one to mention there with boxing as well, eh?
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Do you have a favourite volume or couple of volumes among your cricket book collection?
Yeah, I've got... I always loved Neville Carter's. His writing's just superb. And, you know, it's been widely regarded as vaguely fictional because he just let the story roll and let his... poetry, maybe monster the actual truth of the history. But
could you say that name again? Neville Curtis?
Neville Curtis, C-A-R-D-U-S. He used to be the opera and cricket reviewer for the Observer in Manchester.
Ah,
that's one of my favourites. But I tell you what, the best cricket book I've read in recent times is just called Test Cricket, and it's, I think the author's Joseph Kimber, Australian guy, and it's just so, it's a biography of Test cricket, really. It's only about 200 pages, but man, it's fantastic.
Wonderful. Hey, well, I'll invite people to put their hand up for this sort of box, the 18 boxes of leftovers, Hamish. Are you going to drive down and see Joseph to pick these up?
Yeah, we spoke yesterday and we had a long chat about who we'd put in our greatest England 11.
Wish I could have overheard that.
We have to spend a bit of time together, I think. I haven't seen him for about a decade, so it'll be great to see him and have a chat.
Wonderful. Can I ask, as one of New Zealand's most famous quiz contestants, are you a fan of The Chase?
I am a fan of The Chase. Yeah, I love it.
Mm. You think if they ever make one here in New Zealand, you might be one of the chasers?
Oh, man. I'd never thought of that. I'd love to be.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
I think it's a good idea, Jesse. I think you can make that happen.
What's the big issue in Whanganui at the moment?
Oh, look, there's lots going on. There's a lot of government money in Whanganui. So there's the port redevelopment that's occurring in our Sergeant Gallery. So really it is... waiting to see what the next impact of COVID-19 is, particularly on our job situation. It seems pretty buoyant now, but you always wonder if it's a bit like a porridge cliff. You know, when you have porridge in the morning, you suddenly drop off the cliff early afternoon, and I wonder, we've had this government stimulus and whether we're going to drop off the cliff. And so that's a concern, sustaining our businesses.
Forgive my ignorance. I'd never thought of Whanganui. I guess it is coastal. I'd never thought of it as a coastal town, but the port's a big part of the industry, is it?
Well, the port has been let run down for about three decades, but we see that there's a lot of land-based marine industries that are very successful. We've got a lot of boutique manufacturers in Whanganui, which is one of our kind of oddities or idiosyncrasies. So we've got a couple of boat builders here and a lot of other businesses that kind of fall off that. And so the idea is, and also a lot of food processing as well. So the idea is to cluster businesses together and also increase the Blue Highway, the transport of goods around the country by sea, which is actually a lot better for the roads, better for the environment, and good for Whanganui.
Good stuff. Pleasure to talk with you today. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Jesse.